greatly appreciative of that. If you're joining us this morning while walking, you got your earbuds in, or whether you're at the desk there at work, got us turned down kind of low so the boss doesn't hear. Driving in your car, starting your three-day weekend like my buddy Jeff. Wherever you are, thank you so much for listening today to the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We're going to be picking up in our Bible study today at Matthew 5 at verse number 17, if you'd like to join us there. And we'll continue through this great Sermon on the Mount that we began several weeks ago now. It is a rich piece of sermonic truth, and we have been going through it slowly and deliberately, trying to look at it as closely as possible. I believe that's what Jesus would want us to do. But before we get there, we want to certainly thank you. I know that my wonderful wife is listening. She's running errands today. I think she's running doggy errands today. So she's running around busy. We had our anniversary yesterday, big 26 years. And so love you very much, and thank you for loving me. Glad to have you with us today. Be safe out there, and I'll see you later. Also, my mom is listening over there in the southern Nashville area, and she's busy about her chores as well. She's got to run to town today and take care of some errands. So love you very much. Good talking to you a little while ago. Have a great day. We know that folks are listening all around here. Many of our congregation listen on a regular basis. This program through the week, which is kind of the network's flagship program, because it comes, you know, from here, the home of the Gospel Radio Network. But many people use this 9 to 10 hour for their personal devotional time, and so we're certainly grateful that you have chosen to do that. A lot of good scheduling coming up throughout the day, and so you could continue that devotion throughout the day if you've got that kind of time. We would be glad to supply the teaching. All you got to do is just tune us in. Know that several listening around here are first responders, and we are very grateful for what you do, the work that you do to protect us, running into harm's way while we're running away from it. So thank you. Appreciate that very much. I know that Brad and Eric and these guys, they listen on a regular basis. Andy, as he's down there in Lancaster. I know that we've got other guys like Colby and Kaysen that are coming on up through the ranks. And Colby's actually working with Eric now. And so they're down there in the Sunnyvale area. And we appreciate all y'all do. Bouncing around through the neighborhood, I know that Betty and Juanita listen. Well, Juanita may not be up yet. Isn't that right, Betty? But anyway, as y'all get up and around, glad to have you listening with us. You go down south, and I'm quite aware that the Smithies are in and out of this particular work on a regular basis. Ryan, he's constantly pulling the levers and pushing the buttons, trying to make all these things work properly. And Brother Sudhoff over there in the Tennessee area, Calhoun, I believe it is, properly making this thing work. All you guys, thank you so much. Miss Frida down there in the San Angelo area with the Smithies, as she tunes in on a regular basis, I know. And so anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We've got listeners like the McClures in South Dakota, and we've got the Hockets over in Southwest Virginia. We've got the Poes in Alabama and Florida, and they're just folks everywhere that are listening. We've got IP addresses that show up in multiple countries across the globe. And as I always say, admittedly, sometimes that is found by accident, but more times than none, it is actually found on purpose. You know, people are looking for gospel truth, and as you start to, you know how the search bar works, you start to type in G-O-S, you know, and all kinds of things begin to pop up. And as you get more specific, P-E-L-R-A-D, you start to get right there to it. And people might just look up gospel radio and find us. But if you found us that way and have continued to listen through the years, we're certainly thankful for that. Write us and tell us about that. That'd be kind of an interesting testimonial to hear about how you found the Gospel Radio Network. But anyway, as Brian mentioned at the onset, you can contact us with those kind of messages and updates and things of that nature at mornings@tgrn.org. We're glad you're listening, so thank you. Keep it up, and again, as we always beseech, tell some others about the radio network today. The things that are going on around us, we certainly have a prayer request, and it's lengthy. We could spend the entire program talking about prayer requests. But yesterday, we buried a Christian soldier, and his godly wife had gone on before him, and so they are joined together based on their fruits. They're joined together even in paradise today. And what a what a tremendous thought that is, so pray for the Graves family. Pray for them and the days ahead, that they would be full of smiles. After all, he has gone on to the reward that he lived for all these many years. Also at the top of that list, we're continuing to pray for Deanna De Leon, that's down there in the Cornerstone Hospital in Conroe, and she's doing much better. She's been through a horrific accident and has lots of rehab to go through, and as well as I do, there's things that go along with that. There's depression and anxiety and things that could swell up within her. Anger at the drunk driver that hit them, all these things. So we've been praying for Deanna on a regular basis, and as she begins her recovery process. So keep that up. Also, down there in the same neighborhood, neck of the woods, as it were, our good brethren, the Hudsons, are dealing with COVID. And Phil, specifically, has been in the hospital really, really having a hard time. Keeping his oxygen levels up and things of that nature. So Tammy has updated us pretty regular on that. She has been in touch with Terry Poe, one of our good deacon's wives, here. And so we get regular updates on Phil. So y'all continue to pray for Phil and certainly Tammy and Tyler as they deal with it too. Their symptoms are just much less grave. So pray for them and those around us. Our brother Frank Caldwell, he has the COVID. It's all around us. That's just the way it is. And so pray for these individuals and let the Lord's will be done. I'm sure I forgot somebody in that. That's the danger of using names, because you'll always forget somebody. But anyway, please remember that during the week of October 3rd through the 6th, and that's crazy, isn't it? It's just right around the corner. October is almost here. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Anyway, October 3rd through 6th, there is a multiplicity of meetings going on in our immediate area. Two of the flyers I have within my hand, and we'll share those with you now. One, as we have been mentioning, is down at the Edgewood Church Christ. And they have invited Ed Stover in to talk about growing in Christ. And so their regular times on that first day of the meeting, Sunday, is 9:30, 10:30, lunch at 12. You got to love that, lunch at 12. And then they'll reassemble at 1:30, and Ed will continue to teach. And then respectively, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's there in the Edgewood Church of Christ down there in the Chandler area. Also, please remember that over at the New Boston congregation, they have invited Mike Bonner in. Mike Bonner is a highly sought after gospel speaker. He is very highly educated in the truth, has some great education behind him. I think he's a Southwest guy. And so he came through the school down there in Austin and has gone on to glorify God in magnificent ways. He and his wife Evelyn do an amazing work wherever they go. And so, Mike, you would do well. I'll just leave it at that. You would do well to make it out to New Boston as often as you can. With all these meetings, you might try to do one every day. I don't know. But anyway, that begins with their meeting times as well on that same Sunday, the 3rd of October, 9, 10, and then 6 on that Sunday. And then again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7. That must be some kind of a scriptural mandate that's found somewhere. Because all the meetings are the same, you know. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Whatever happened to the 2 and 3 week tent meetings? The great book that was put out by Brother Garland Elkins years ago, The Savior's Way, was a tent meeting, a gospel meeting that took place, and it just went on and on. They decided to have one more night, and then they decided to have another night, and then they decided to have another night. You know, it continued to go on. We've become so regimented, it's just like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's it. It's like the 30-second commercial on TV. If it goes longer than 30 seconds, we just can't stand it. And so we've been acclimated to short bursts of information. And so I guess that has crept into our scheduling. But anyway, just saying, love to be able to have these two-week meetings again. That would be great. But anyway, that's just me. But also, October the 13th, the next week, is the beginning of our Bible Bowl. And the great folks over there at Mount Pleasant, there at the North Jefferson Congregation, are certainly going to be hosting that, using their building anyway. The first night they will actually host, and that is provide a light meal afterwards. But anyway, we are still searching for congregations, to the best of my knowledge, to fill in the latter part of the year. Even January, February, March, and April. And so I could be wrong in that I haven't received the latest update, but check with North Jefferson if your congregation would like to be a part of this. And it's a great work. Get in touch with old Chris Groder today and let them know that you'd like to be a part of that. They'd love to put you on board. So again, that starts on October the 13th. It's every second Monday of each month, October to April. And they're using the same curriculum of Joshua this year. And that they always do that particular curriculum that lines up with Lads to Leaders, which culminates there on Easter Sunday, I guess it is, in April every year. All right, I would remind you about all the great programming going throughout the day, but I'm sure you're already aware of it. If you're not, if you're a first-time listener today, please pull up however you can there on your screen. You can go to On Demand, and you can look at the incredible schedule that's there of all the programming that's available throughout the day. And as I always try to bang the drum, that Telstar Archive is an amazing work, and it shuffles throughout the day. And so Brother Smithy and Brother Sudhoff have fixed that to where we're hearing different stuff all the time, you know, always mixing the speakers up. And in between them, there is that great a cappella. And as I come on the air on Fridays, I always kind of feel guilty, you know, because that great singing, the melody in our hearts as it has been recorded and is now being replayed for us, it's so beautiful, and I almost feel guilty cutting in on that. But anyway, there'll be some more of that as the day progresses. I think that's pretty much it. We thank you for your listenership. We mentioned a couple things on our bulletin board for you to look forward to, and we got some prayer requests. And the last thing that we do before we start our Bible study, as you remember, is we take that great drink of Folgers. So y'all reach over there and get your coffee cup, and let's drink. Maybe you got a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. That's okay, too. Anyway, love you guys. Thanks for putting up with my nonsense. As we begin, here it is, 19 after the hour. I have jabbered along with all these things. We find ourselves in a great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. As just recently, we started a deliberate study of the book of Matthew, page by page, verse by verse. And we have made it to verse 17, which is a beautiful verse because it is a great explanation of Jesus Christ for his coming. Several of those exist in the New Testament. You remember it, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he came to save sinners. Revelation 13:8, he came to die. The Lamb of God came to die as was planned by God the Father from the foundation of the world. Zacchaeus was told, Luke 19 and verse number 10, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Many great mission statements that we find about Jesus, the anointed Son of God, in whom he was well pleased. Again, Matthew 17 and verse 5, who we are to listen unto today. And if we reject his words, John 12 and verse 48, please realize that those are the words that we will be judged by in the last day. Here he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You might remember just a few chapters back as he spoke with John the Baptizer. I am here to fulfill all righteousness. And so John immersed him. As we watch Jesus teaching, as we listen to the words that he gives us, even from divine authority, for he is 100% divine, as he is 100% man. He is the incarnate Son of God. You got to remember this particular book. Each of the gospel accounts was written to a particular audience by a particular man that God has chosen. And here, the book of Matthew, it was specifically written to the Jews. And they had the Old Testament scrolls. This is what was read in the synagogues when Jesus stood up to read. He grabbed a scroll, and he would read what we have, you know, in the front part of our Bibles. And he would often read from the Law and the Prophets. And so, my friends, as you think about the great statement that he has made, think about it specifically, the Law. It's the Pentateuch. It's, you know, those five books that were written by Moses, of course, by inspiration, much of it after the fact, you know, transcribing history as it was. But however it was recorded, understand that the Law is those first five books that we're talking about. As you look at your library catalog there in those 66 books, we teach the kids about the Old Testament, 5-12, 5-5-12. That's the way it's broken up. Five books of law, the Pentateuch. And so it consisted of, morality, morality principles, the things that we need to understand about our moral compass that needs to be guided by the Spirit. There's commands, there's judicial instructions. There's all kinds of legislation for the Jews as a nation. You know, there's clean meats, there's unclean meats. There are days that you are not to work, right? The Sabbath, there is such a thing as a Sabbath day's journey. all kinds of information that is left for us there in the law. And so as a nation, they went to the law to find out what they did and did not do. In some small parallel, we think about our Constitution here in the United States. When we understand that something needs to be done, the place that we refer to is the Constitution to see if it's legal. You know, our president's out here banging a drum that people have to get a shot. Are you going to lose your job? That's unconstitutional. He does not have the right to do that. And we're not getting political here. I'm just simply making a point. When we hear something or see something, there is a place that we can check to see if it's legal or if it's right. And it's called the Constitution of the United States. Spiritually, the nation of Israel, they would go to their, if you will, Constitution, which was divinely scribed, and here Jesus refers to it as the law. And so there is the law. You could understand about burnt offerings. You could understand about sacrifices. At the end of Leviticus, you could learn about vows. You know, vows didn't have to be made, but if you were going to make one, there is a section in the law that tells you what to do. So when Jesus talks about the law specifically, he's talking about the Pentateuch. The prophets, he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. And this is all the information in the prophetic books of the Old Testament, right? There are minor prophets and there are major prophets, 5 and 12. And so we understand that when he talks about the prophetic works of the Old Testament, he's talking about those individuals that were foretellers. They were forecasters. You know, your weather man, what does he do? But he forecasts. He has digital images that he can examine, and based on history and charted paths, etc., he can make assumptions about what's going to happen in the future as it relates to this storm or this cold front or, you know, the winds, things of that nature. That's only an example because it doesn't fit in what we're talking about here with the prophets. I simply mentioned the weatherman because we kind of understand that. It's something that you probably have already watched today to see what the weather's going to be like this weekend. But the prophets of God, if you go back into the law, the Deuteronomy record shows us that if a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, you know that he is a prophet of God. And so when Jesus talks about the prophets, he is talking about the individuals like you see recorded right there, Isaiah, Daniel, Joel, right? These individuals that are there for our learning and admonition, Romans 15 and verse 4. That's who he's talking about. They predicted things to come. And the ability that they had to do that with was God's inspiration. They were given a message. So he says, I did not come to destroy the law or to destroy the prophets, but to fulfill. I like to kind of think about things. You know, when we talk about justified, being justified, we break that down and we say the way that justified is explained from God's standpoint, it's just if I'd never sinned. That's because God wipes all your sins away and casts them to the bottom of the ocean. He casts them as far as the east is from the west, and he never remembers them anymore. Just if I'd. I like that example. And I also like it with fulfilled. Filled full. Filled full. Right? That is, he came to carry out a promise. He came to do a particular duty. We use that terminology today. Have you fulfilled your task? Have you fulfilled your responsibility? We still use that kind of terminology, and we know exactly what it means. You could think about filling full the pitcher. Is the pitcher full? No. Well, then fill it. That way it will be fully filled. All kinds of silliness that I could throw out there this morning, but we understand it, right? He came to fulfill, right? When two men enter into a contract, when each has met the terms of the contract, then we call it accomplished. We call it fulfilled, right? And so, my friends, Jesus came to fulfill his obligation to God. God dispatched him to come here, certainly from the foundation of time, but in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, Jesus received the dispatch and came to this earth and put on flesh by means of the miraculous birth that we read about in the great beginning of the gospel accounts. Mary, espoused unto Joseph, right? Beautiful. So he did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. You would remember that even as you go back into the Deuteronomy record, Moses said, there will be one like unto me that will be raised up, and him you will hear. Guess who he was talking about? That's right. He was talking about the Christ. Over and again, Isaiah chapter 2, the church. Well, the church could not be built, could not be established until blood was shed. That's exactly what Paul talks about in Acts chapter 20. The church was purchased with his blood. The redeeming power is in the blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Over and again, we see that Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Recently, last Sunday, in my sermonic thought, I revealed that great quote that has been used through the years, but there are some 333 prophecies in the Old Testament, as has been recorded for our admonition. 24 of those 333 came to pass, were fulfilled even there around the scene at Golgotha, right? The night before, leading up to, during, and even just after. 24 hours of time and 24 prophecies fulfilled. Everything from Judas Iscariot and to the veil of the temple. And so, my friends, we see that Jesus came to fulfill, not to destroy or to tear down. As Paul wrote to the Roman church, he says, Christ is the end of the law. That is, he's the goal of the law. In the Galatian letter, Paul says very clearly that the law was a schoolmaster, right, to bring us unto Christ, served a purpose. And so Christ, he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That's just a beautiful thing to even consider, right? Something that could not be accomplished without him. And he freely, willingly came. That's the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. What a beautiful thought. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus, he respects the law. He has deep regards for the Old Testament, the entirety of those books, those scrolls that he would handle, that he would unroll and read publicly, read aloud, even in the synagogues when given the opportunity. The Jewish nation, they highly respected the law and the prophets, the poetry, that which exists there in the fullness of the Old Testament. The problem